We have Washington Post columnist Matt Miller. We have CNBC contributor and former New Hampshire Senator Judd Gregg. We have townhall.com political editor Guy Benson and Catherine Mangu Ward, managing editor for Reason Magazine. Guy Benson, let me go to you. Why should the look, I'm all for a deal. I want a deal. I want to save the country. I want to do all the right things. But why should the Republicans sign on to higher tax rates, no spending in return, no entitlement reform in return, and something that Matt Miller would never have done? The Democrats want to actually spend more in a bill that's supposed to be about fiscal restraint. Yeah. Why should the GOP sign on to that?
Oh, they shouldn't, and they won't. I mean, this is silly. This is not a serious proposal, obviously. This is a first proposal where they're going for the moon. Republicans should counter saying, all right, here's our counter proposal. Let's repeal Obamacare and enact the Ryan plan on Medicare and just have their wish list. I mean,
is this Tim
ridiculous.
Geithner?
It was Geithner.
Is it Geithner or is it Lou? Chief of Staff, who's going to be the Treasury Secretary. You're shaking your head on that. Jack Lew, he is the Chief of Staff. He is the former Budget Director, did a hell of a job with all these trillion-dollar deficits. I am told he is the new Geithner, and that's why he's key to these talks. I want to get your take on this, Judd Gregg. You are a former insider. You probably know more about the budget than any living human being. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but I want to give you your shot on this. Jack Lew, next Treasury. Did he pump this up? Is this his idea?
I don't know where it came from, the White House, but I presume it came from directly out of the Chief of Staff's office and working with the Treasury Secretary. Something like this is so aggressive. It's almost like a labor union proposal in a labor union negotiation. What I find disturbing about it, because I happen to think that they should go to the Simpson-Bowles template where you've got $3 of spending reduction for every dollar of revenue. What I find disturbing about this is, first, it moves that ratio, reverses that ratio almost. But
this is like $3 of revenue.
You're taking
for every half dollar of spending.
Yeah, and you're taking the revenue number up to 1.6. Now, most folks have talked a revenue number in the trillion-dollar range at the top. That was where Simpson-Bowles was, and the agreement of last summer was $800 billion, I think. And when you go to 1.6, you're basically talking, even though the stated rate might have to go to 39.5%, you're actually talking probably a rate of 42% when you throw in the elimination of deductions and exemptions. And then you're going to put the Medicare number on top of that, which is 3.4 or 3.8%. You're talking a 45% top rate.
And they want to cap some deductions on top of that. Matt Miller, you came from a fiscally conservative administration. Huh? They're going to cap the deductions and raise the rates.
Right, that takes you up to an effective rate.
Not one or the other, both.
Low 42.
Can I say, calm down. It's an offer. This is no more one-sided than Paul Ryan's.
You work for Alice Rivlin, who's a great lady and a great budget director.
She is.
And the Clinton administration, working with the Republican House and Senate, did a very good job. That's me talking, a very good job on this. Now, Matt, you know darn well that this offer here is not serious by the Democrats.
Yeah, I disagree. I'll tell you why. I mean, restoring the Clinton-era rates when we had the 22 million jobs, et cetera, is not some catastrophe for the economy. When
I see
the Republicans, it's a fair concern on the Medicare thing. It's a fair concern on that.
It's also doubling down when you include the deductibility. No, why not go to the way the speaker was? I mean, the speaker said he was for revenue. I mean, why not take the speaker up on that?
Look, Paul Ryan's offer. You look at these as bookends, right? You have this offer on one side, Paul Ryan's budget, which was passed, by all the Republicans, incurred trillions and trillions and trillions in debt because he kept taxes, he assumed it would stay at 19% of GDP, and did nothing on the tax side at all. He was considered an intellectual hero and one of foreign policy's leading, global thinkers. That's a joke. This is the other side of the same thing.
Paul Ryan's a good man.
He's not a fiscal conservative, Larry.
You need a Paul Ryan on your team. That's why I want you to go back in.
No. He's not. He's not a fiscal conservative.
You are a fiscal conservative. God bless you.
The best thing that they do in this Obama proposal is actually try and kill the debt limit. We're the only country, except for Denmark, which has some kind of weird thing like it. You can't have a debt limit being used to hold Washington hostage anymore.
That just takes some more discipline away.
If you pass the budget, Catherine, you wouldn't have a debt limit.
Yeah, well, Catherine, I appeal to your libertarian free market instincts.
Okay.
Are these gentlemen, they're all very well-meaning here, okay? We have a conservative, we have a conservative, we have a moderate Democrat here. But are they all blowing smoke at us? Do you see any real
downsizing of the federal government. Do you see us returning to the basic functions of what government should be that would stop us from going bankrupt?
You know, all due respect to this impressive panel, pretty much everyone everywhere is blowing smoke right now.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about...
Except
for you.
Thank you.
No, I mean, we're talking about sort of ridiculous opening offers. We're talking about, I will gladly give you a dollar tomorrow for a hamburger today. I mean, everyone is offering their most ridiculous proposal right now. But I would say... there's absolutely no reason to think that spending cuts are going to happen, especially if they're not put into the, you know, absolute top line of a proposal that's happening today, right now. I mean, the notion that somehow we'll raise taxes and then we'll get to those cuts down the line.
It's all manana. Everything
it's all manana. It's never going to happen.
But you don't want big spending cuts anytime soon.
I want
near 8%. Right,
but we don't need $50 billion more in stimulus,
You'll get the sequester.
See, here's where I disagree with my Keynesian brethren. I believe lower spending is stimulative to the economy.
Oh, Larry.
I believe lower spending as a share of GDP.
How's that working out for Britain?
Listen, the trouble with Britain was they raised their tax rate, which they then had to lower again. That was their trouble. In fact, the trouble through all Europe is they're raising taxes. Why is it that nobody understands that lower spending frees up the private sector to allow them to invest and create capital and jobs? Why is that? Would you explain that to me?
I can't explain that to you, Larry, but I can.
Explain it to Matt.
Well, I can ask another question, though, that I think is important. Here we are talking about tax rates. We are not talking about the spending side of this, which the president refuses to do, which Tim Geithner apparently today refused to do. I got a note that Mitch McConnell burst out laughing when Geithner went through his proposal today. And Mitch McConnell's not necessarily an excitable guy. So, you know, we have absolutely, we have no details whatsoever from the Democrats ever on entitlements. They haven't put a budget out in the Senate for 3.5 years. The president's budgets have gotten zero votes. We want to talk about a joke of a budget. How about the president's budget? And so when we look at the entitlements,
these are playing games. It's a joke. I mean, Paul Ryan pretended you can double the number of seniors on Social Security and Medicare and not have a penny in new taxes. That's a fraud.
Although
the Democrats are wrong to not say we have to shave the growth of Medicare.
Right.
I say that all the time.
I want that Paul Ryan back because, like, the guy who we ultimately
saw... you're going to get $60 trillion in new debt.
Okay.
Paul Ryan's guy. Mr. Debt.
They're right.
This guy was a free market guy.
Matt Miller knows. He's just put Josh in you. If you read his columns, it's really much better.
He
understands free market competition can work in healthcare just like it works in everything else.
Well, and frankly, if we're talking about, okay, you know, it's not so bad to go back to Clinton-era tax rates, let's talk about going back to Clinton-era spending. I mean, nobody's putting even that on the table. We're talking about, you know, pretending that if we cut a dollar of spending anywhere, you know, we're going to have seniors dying in the streets. And frankly, I'd kind of like to see the old Paul Ryan get up there and say, talk to me seriously about spending, and then I'll go along with the rest of the GOP and say, let's talk about taxing.
Senator Judd-Gregg, can I ask you a question? I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, this is a political judgment, but the Republicans have more leverage.
You've never been wrong.
Occasionally I'm wrong, but I did save you from going into that administration called 4 years ago, right in this area, and by the way, but anyway, you are who you are, and we're glad you're here. Look, Obama doesn't want another recession. The idea, the Patty Murray, Chuck Schumer idea, that if they can't have their way with no spending and higher tax, if they can't have their way and raise tax rates, then they'll let all the tax cuts expire and we'll go into a recession. I think that's a bluff. I think that makes Obama Herbert Hoover Obama. He can't take a second recession in his administration, a second recession, and it would just blow him out of the water. And I think that's why the Republicans really have more leverage than they think.
Well, that's absolutely true.
You buy that.
More importantly than that, there are three other reasons why you should be able to get to an agreement here. Speaker Boehner needs an agreement.
Right.
He knows that if we go over the cliff, he's the jar, whether the rocket's the jar or the jar.
And that's why he wants to do business.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And number three, this is the rare period in American politics after a presidential election when you can actually have governance with less politics. And number four, you have a forcing mechanism. That happens very rarely, a real serious forcing mechanism, the fiscal cliff. So all those factors come together. I genuinely believe that one of these weekends, it's probably going to be closer to Christmas than closer to now, the president and the speaker are going to get in a room and they're going to decide this thing. And the outlines of it are pretty clear where it's going to go.
We were there in the summer of 2011. We were there. I'm not saying it was identical, but the Speaker and the President were very, very close. Last question, Judd Gregg. Why do you think it'll work this time when it didn't work in the summer of 2011?
Because it's to the advantage of both sides to govern. We're not leading up to an election where both sides are trying to position themselves.
It's better to do this stuff after
an
election.
American people want us to govern.
But
want
do you
the
think they're going to do a real deal now, or they're going to
no,
do
it's
another,
going to be a two-step
they'll establish
deal.
Another cliff?
No, no.
We'll
it'll
be
a,
back at the
but
same
the first step
point,
is going to be very significant.
Now.
The first step is going to be very significant, I think. And the second step will be directions to the
this
Ways and Means and Finance Committee on tax reform and on
this can
Medicare.
Be done without destroying the economy. But you are right. They have to do some serious spending cutting. Hell, 20% of GDP is too high. 18% of GDP is where we ought to be.
Can't
I got to get
it.
Out of here. I got to get out of here. The producers are in my ear. Many thanks, Matt Miller, Judd Gregg, Guy Benson, and Catherine Mangu Ward. We appreciate it very much.